Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back for the third time today, this time to talk about some Ring of Honor Wrestling Episode 513. I think it aired on July 16th, featuring a main event of the Foundation taking on Shane Taylor Promotions in an eight-man tag team match. So yes, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Hopefully you find the time and energy to check out a couple other things we just put out. Our one-year anniversary show where we just sat down and had a couple topics to discuss. Not officially reviewing any sort of show, but just some general wrestling questions to sort of discuss among ourselves. We also did an Impact Wrestling Slammiversary review from what I thought was a very strong show. So those two things came out a little bit earlier today, so we'd love if you could check them out. As always, I'm looking for feedback. If you would care to send me some, fnswrestling@gmail.com is your best option, or fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram, or if you happen to be listening this on YouTube, just leave something in the comments. I promise no matter how you contact me, I will get back to you in a very timely fashion usually. Now that all of that administrative stuff is out of the way, I say we get into talking about some wrestling, and that specifically will be this week's offering from Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ring of Honor, Episode 513. So let's get started now. So this week's episode starts with a close-up of Dalton Castle, who is telling somebody off-camera that he doesn't have time. I imagine it's supposed to be for an interview at this point. He looks at his phone again, says that he's too busy, and then walks away. So as he walks away, we now see behind him, Jonathan Gresham is having his knee taped by Joe Keyes as the rest of the Foundation sort of come in to the, I guess it's the locker room in suits. They ask what happened. Gresham explains that he tweaked his knee while training. Lethal asks if Gresham will be okay for the eight-man tag match tonight, and Gresham assures them that he will be fine. Tracy Williams says they need to protect Gresham as the pure champion, and they have Joe Keyes right there as he's the one sort of taping up Gresham, who Gresham has taught everything to, so they want to put Joe in the match in Gresham's place. Joe Keyes obviously agrees to this. Everyone but Gresham leaves to talk to management about the new plan. So Gresham did seem like he was okay with this substitution and was kind of wishing Keyes luck at the end of this, but it seems like this is sort of the beginning of maybe the others excluding Gresham, because he did lose twice on the last pay-per-view. Which I kind of find interesting, actually, if something's about to sort of shake loose within this otherwise solid group of the Foundation. So it kind of felt like the introduction of a storyline that I'm probably going to be interested in. I also have liked what I've seen from Joe Keyes in the limited things I've seen from him. So I'm happy to see him get a little bit more time and some exposure on TV. I'm reading too much into this probably, but I do that sometimes. Even just the detail of Gresham being in his athletic gear while the other members of the Foundation walk in all dressed in suits kind of highlights the contrast right now, that maybe Gresham is kind of the odd man out and maybe foreshadowing what's going to happen here. But anyways, I hope this is the start of sort of a lengthy story that I will enjoy, because it definitely could be. So I like this little beginning of the show. So then I ask sort of, is it my birthday or something? Or do ROH executives listen to this podcast? Highly unlikely. For some reason, Brian Johnson is at the desk in Quinn McKay's spot, and I am thrilled, because if you listen to this, you know I love Brian Johnson. I think he's amazing on the mic. So obviously a bit of a different role here. He's not just cutting a promo on the way to the ring or in the ring, but he is acting as sort of the host here as he's in Quinn McKay's spot. So a very interesting choice, I thought, and I was wondering why, but then we find out quickly. So he is our slightly angry host, as he tends to be. He tells us normally Ian Riccaboni would fill in for Quinn, but Riccaboni is the keynote speaker at some nerd convention, so Johnson is taking his spot to lead us bozos through this episode. He tells us in an eight-man match, Shane Taylor Promotions will take on the four biggest dorks they could find in the Foundation. He then rips Gresham and Keyes as Gresham's replacement, telling us that we'll also get to see Quinn McKay, so that explains why she's not at the desk here, versus Mandy Leon. And basically, Brian Johnson rips on Quinn here, saying that her charade of a career as anything other than a microphone holder ends today. Then we'll get Fred Yehi's taking on Ray Orris, he tells us. He slips in a short joke about Yehi and a joke about Ray Orris's sort of high-flying style that Brian Johnson probably wouldn't agree with. So I didn't love everything Brian Johnson did here. I didn't think all of his jokes landed, But I mean, at the end of the day, he seemed really comfortable in this role, and he certainly brings a completely different energy from what Quinn does. And he did have some good lines along the way. I just don't think everything hit the way they wanted it to. But overall, I enjoyed it, right? It was just something new to see. I could easily see him being used as a heel commentator down the road. He's really quick on his feet, really confident, really seems to have this character sort of dialed in. I thought this was kind of a fun choice by ROH to switch things up to start the show, so I was pretty happy with this little surprise. We then move into our opening match, which is Fred Yehi versus Rey Horus. So Horus is fresh off a big win against his former partner Flamita at the last pay-per-view. Commentary are very interested in this match to see how Fred Yehi will adjust to wrestling outside of the Pure Division, as this is not a Pure Division match. Horus comes out looking pretty cool. He's rocking what they tell us is an Aztec-inspired entrance gear, complete with like a mask over top of his mask with a cobra on the top of it in gold, I believe. So some pretty flashy gear here. We get wrist control by Horus early, but Yehi gets Horus's leg quickly and just slams it into the mat a couple times. Yehi looks to apply his Koji clutch. Horus frantically escapes. I thought this looked good. Horus looking so desperate to get away helps to put that move over quite a bit. Huge dive over the ropes in the corner by Horus onto Yehi on the floor. Top rope crossbody by Horus for a near fall. Unfortunately, at this point, I notice pretty clearly I can hear them, and I think especially Horus talking during the match, sort of talking out what's coming up next, I think. So a little bit distracting, but nothing crazy. We get a nice sequence by Yehi once he gets his hands on Horus. He locks in the Koji clutch, but Horus eventually does get to the ropes. There's an aggressive T-bone suplex by Yehi. They both head up top. Horus hits a cool looking, thanks to Rick Abani for clarifying, a body scissor driver that leads right into the cover, and he picks up the win. So I really enjoyed this match, a nice contrast of styles. Horus used his speed and agility to hit high-risk offense as Yehi tried to basically get a hold of him to ground him and work his style of match. Yehi also looked a little bit more aggressive here than he has in the past. So I prefer watching him in these non-pure matches so far because I thought this was my favorite version of him. He looked pretty good despite the loss here, and I would say that this was a pretty entertaining opener. So Mandy Leon gets a little bit of promo time ahead of her match with Quinn McKay. And she is annoyed that she has to get off of her phone for the interview. She's asked for her thoughts on Quinn McKay. She says she's now a grown woman, no longer seeks validation or friendships, and that's Quinn's problem. Quinn wants to prove that she's a great person, but deep down, Quinn has a lot to hide. Leon points out that when the pandemic started, Quinn would use her YouTube show to insult Leon and the rest of her group. But the problem is that Quinn can't back up the trash she talked, and she's going to get her ass beat. Angelina Love comes in and basically puts an end to the interview, and she and Mandy Leon sort of head to the ring, I guess, for the match. So I don't know much about Mandy Leon at all. I've seen her maybe once since I've been back to watching Ring of Honor. She hasn't really played a prominent role on the program, I don't think, since I've started watching again, since the reboot, basically. But she did definitely seem comfortable here. Very believable as this sort of unlikable character. I mean, it's a character that's been done to death in wrestling, but that doesn't mean it still can't be done. So I thought she seemed like she was doing a pretty good job with it here. Quinn McKay then gets her turn to speak, and she reminds us that she lost her debut match against Angelina Love. She blames her own inexperience on that, but also says it's partly Mandy Leon's fault because she sort of, I believe, provided the distraction that sort of cost her the match. Quinn is tired of Leon saying that Quinn will never be a wrestler. She talks about the parallels in the careers of herself and Mandy Leon, including their training in the dojo. They both started as sort of backstage interviewers and broadcasters. And she points out that Mandy doesn't want anyone to know any of this because she's rebranded herself as the character she is now, basically. But Quinn knows the truth. Underneath the hair and the malice, Leon has a fighting spirit just like Quinn does. They're basically two sides of the same coin, and Leon is just a glimmer of what she could be. And that's what this is all about. Who Mandy is versus who she could have been. Leon should leave Angelina Love and become what she should be. And basically Quinn adds at the end that she wants a shot at the ROH Women's Championship. So I don't think I really did it justice summarizing it there, but I was pretty much blown away by this promo, if I'm being honest. A really well-written promo and really delivered well with emotion and believability by Quinn McKay here. And my favorite promos in wrestling, I talk about it a lot on this show, are ones that seem to be rooted in reality or are actually rooted in reality. And this one, she even had pictures of Mandy Leon training and Mandy Leon interviewing backstage. So she sort of had evidence that what she was saying is in fact the truth, or close to the truth, at least close enough for a wrestling promo. So I thought this was excellent. And if Quinn keeps getting better in the ring and she can cut promos like this, they may really have something with her. I thought this was a good enough promo that I would say go seek it out and watch it, because I think she did a great job here. So good job, Quinn. We then get the match between the two. So Mandy Leon with Angelina Love versus Quinn McKay in her second match here in Ring of Honor. Maria is on commentary. She lets us know that if Quinn wins, she will earn entry into the women's tournament. So that actually had me assuming that Quinn would pick up the win somehow here, even though she's kind of outnumbered and maybe outclassed or out-experienced, at least, I guess. I thought that's kind of where this was leading to, but we'll find out, I guess. So Quinn offers her hand for the code of honor, and Leon takes it, but pulls her in for a sucker punch. Leon then grabs the mic and actually taunts Quinn for falling for that trick, but then just starts to kick and stomp her on the ground. Quinn, a little bit later, hits a slap and a clothesline, but then she's dominated by Mandy Leon for most of the middle portion of this match. There is a spot of some awkward grappling on the mat that did not look great, I have to admit, before Mandy sort of slams Quinn to the mat a couple times by her hair. Angelina Love, of course, gets involved before Leon hits a drop kick off the apron to the floor, and then suplexes Quinn onto the floor as well to follow up. The drop kick looked like it would hurt Mandy quite a bit, as she basically is just taking a back bump off the apron onto the floor, but good for her, it looked pretty cool. A little bit later, there's a power slam by Quinn. She didn't get a lot of offense in this, but she does hit a power slam here to stop Leon's sort of onslaught. Then there's a running neck breaker. Then I think at least two or three swinging neck breakers by Quinn McKay for a near fall here, as she sort of fires up for a brief time in the middle of this. Quinn applies what they're calling the tangerine lock. It looked like the $1 million dream to me, basically. But the ref is distracted by Love, and Leon is actually tapping out. But again, the referee is not paying attention. So Angelina Love then slips Mandy Leon a set of brass knuckles. Quinn picks Leon up for some sort of move, but in the process, Leon does punch her with the brass knuckles. The referee doesn't happen to notice, and that's enough for Mandy Leon to pick up the win, and Quinn McKay will not be entered into the women's tournament that is upcoming on ROH, which I'm sure she's disappointed about. This match definitely was not a masterpiece. I think Quinn is still pretty limited in what she's doing, especially it looked like on offense. And I'm not trying to be rude, but I don't think Mandy Leon, anyone's going to confuse her with peak Kurt Angle either. I don't think this was all bad. They did tell a story, and the great promo by Quinn had me more interested in this match than I probably had any right to be. So that's definitely a plus for them. And Quinn seems like she's really willing to work hard. So I hope she just keeps improving, because I think if she picks up a lot of in-ring ability to go with her promo skills, they could really have something. So I think she could be an asset as a competitor for sure. And I like that they're giving her some opportunity to showcase, and she just needs to keep working and get better, and I'm sure she will. We then transition to main event time, and that is the 8-man tag team match with Shane Taylor Promotions versus The Foundation. I'm a big fan of Shane Taylor Promotions, and I've been saying I really hope that as things sort of seem to shift after the last pay-per-view, that Shane Taylor Promotions will get a bit more attention and a bit more spotlight. They are champions in the company at this point, so I'm hoping that they get a little higher profile, because I think they're a very interesting group, and I really like Shane Taylor. So Taylor, a little bit of a promo. He remembers the words of his grandmother, and then each member of his group just introduces themselves, basically, and he talks about how the Foundation has tried this before. The only difference this time is they've brought Joe Keyes, and that basically all they're doing here with bringing Keyes is leading a lamb to the slaughter. And he says to end that the baddest just got better. I think he was referring to the addition of O'Shea Edwards to this group. And I think Shane Taylor pretty much always does a great job on the mic. He just feels real to me, for lack of any better way of saying it. Kind of like Eddie Kingston, not quite on that level, but I just kind of believe everything Shane Taylor tells me. So I would be surprised if I ever didn't like his promo, so I like this one. Tracy Williams then gets his turn to speak. He starts talking about the struggles the Foundations are facing, but Joe Keyes quickly interrupts them. He says that Gresham has taught him everything he knows, and he's about the exact same things the rest of the group is about. If anyone doubts what they're about tonight, they're going to get their butts handed to them. And so Tracy Williams and the rest sort of agree, and they head out as though heading towards the ring, I guess. I do like that Keyes got to do the talking here. Again, they're just giving a guy an opportunity that he doesn't always get. And I didn't think he did a bad job at all. And going into this match, it's going to be my first time, as far as I can remember, seeing O'Shea Edwards in the ring. The other match he had was on, I think, their YouTube show, and I didn't see it, but he's definitely a powerhouse. So Keyes forces Edwards to tag out really early after a high cross body and a running uppercut. Taylor absolutely flattens Keyes with a clothesline and starts yelling at the foundation to get the rookie Keyes out of the ring and literally allows him to tag out. Rhett Titus and Tracy Williams need to double team the big man Moses to take him down at one point. Lethal and Khan, sort of in the middle of this, are selling some tension between them, and they take turns trying to sort of pull each other off the apron, and then Khan sort of trips up Lethal just enough for Moses to just run him over. Shane Taylor promotion then isolate Lethal in their corner for a bit. Shane Taylor, man, I've said it before, his forearm shots are next level, and he absolutely kills Jay Lethal with one here during this match. We get a Lethal combination to Khan. Lethal finally tags out as he'd been sort of the face in peril for a bit of this match here. Titus comes in and he's a house of fire, looks really good, takes out almost everyone, hits a belly-belly to Edwards and a power slam to Khan. We get a dropkick German combination by Titus and Keyes. Things break down at one point. Keyes ends up alone in the ring. Moses hits a cannonball off the apron onto the foundation on the floor while the rest of Shane Taylor promotion sort of close in on Joe Keyes. Keyes fights them off for a little bit, takes a big headbutt from Edwards. There's then a flurry of action near the finish of this, leads to O'Shea Edwards hitting Joe Keyes with a sit-out spine buster, a really big looking one, and he does pin Joe Keyes. So Shane Taylor promotions pick up the win here in this 8-man tag team main event. I thought this was a pretty good 8-man match. Rhett Titus looked really good in the brief sort of fired up spot that he got. He looked really quick and really crisp there. O'Shea Edwards didn't get a ton of action, but what he did get looks impressive. He's a powerful guy. I figured Joe Keyes was kind of included in this and would probably end up taking the fall. But at the end of the day, I'm still glad that he got some exposure in a main event. Also got some time on the mic in this show. So a nice little bit of exposure for him. I think Moses, Khan, O'Shea Edwards, and Keyes have really solid potential if given the time. A solid main event, and I think the right team went over here. Again, I'm hoping the focus on Shane Taylor promotions sort of increases. So I enjoyed this episode of Ring of Honor. I mean, right out of the gate, the surprise of Brian Johnson on commentary was awesome. He did some good things in that role. I really enjoyed the opener between Yehi and Ray Horace. Mandy Leon's promo was good. Quinn's promo I thought was fantastic. But their match, unfortunately, was just kind of okay, with Quinn showing some potential, though. I thought a really solid main event in the 8-man tag for overall what I would consider a strong episode that included some new things, starting out with Dalton Castle being right in the camera to start the show, followed up by Brian Johnson doing Quinn's job sort of thing. So they took a couple risks here. I thought that was kind of interesting. So I'm going to give this show a B+ this week based off of the strength of the opening match, which over-delivered, and then Quinn's, frankly, what I thought was an awesome promo. So there's if you're going to check something out, I would say check out Quinn's promo. But overall, a very solid episode of Ring of Honor this week, I'm happy to report. So that's going to bring me to the end of this little podcast here where we're reviewing Ring of Honor. So as I always like to say, thank you if you're spending any time listening to myself or myself and my son in some of our other podcasts talk about wrestling. If you haven't seen our flagship show, we're coming up on our first episode of the new year. It's episode 53, where we talk about AEW, Dynamite, NXT, Impact Wrestling, a little bit about wrestling action figures, anything new that's from that world, some trivia, some news and rumors, just a couple hours of my son and I going through the week's worth of wrestling that we end up watching. I seem to be in a routine of putting these out for Ring of Honor on Monday, so keep looking out for those. And then, like I said, we did just publish a couple bonus episodes, Slammiversary review from Impact Wrestling on the weekend. Money in the Bank will probably be coming out tomorrow. Jack and I are going to sit down and talk about that a little bit. And then there's our 1-year anniversary bonus episode I also put up there today. So thanks if you're checking out any or all of those. We really do appreciate it. Please feel free to contact us. I love getting feedback in any way that I can, constructive, positive, whatever, doesn't really matter. Just love to hear from any listeners. So I think on that note, I pretty much don't have anything else to say. It's been a lot of podcasting today. Not that I don't enjoy it, so I shouldn't make it sound like a chore because it's really fun. But anyways, we will see you whenever we see you for the next podcast we release, if nothing before, for sure on Saturday, but I would say expect Money in the Bank in the next day or two. And until then, take care.